So I'll just leave it at that for now and just do a little sermonette, something that's been on my heart, just hearing Joe and Lily share about the gospel and so far away in Africa. But the kingdom of heaven is not limited by time or space. Did you know that?
Yes.
The kingdom of heaven is within the heart of a believer. And when we have the kingdom of heaven within us, we now have a message from that kingdom that we can declare out of our mouth. It's called the gospel of peace. When we looked at Ephesians 6, you'll recognize that one of the things that we put on as part of our overall equipment that Paul was talking about, where we've been in Ephesians 6 for a while, but in verse 15 he says, having shod your feet, shod is just an old English word for putting your shoes on, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it also says in Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, which are God's people, your God reigns. Now, I don't know about you, but I think we know that. Does everybody know that God reigns?
Yes.
You know that God is the sovereign. He's the creator. He is the name above all names. He doesn't go any higher than him. There's not someone that he checks with before he's going to do something. Did you know that?
Right.
He reigns. He's supreme. He is the highest authority. But somehow, in our humanity, we often need reminders of things. Have you noticed it? My phone, the most valuable thing my phone does for me other than connect me with people is remind me that at 2 o'clock or whatever time the next day, I have to set reminders like 3 days out, like 3 day, 2 day, 1 day, just because I need that. So there's like an hour before, so I have time to drive there in case I still forgot from sleeping that night. But reminders are a huge part of what our devices do for us now because we need to remember those appointments in our schedule. We get those reminders, right? Well, it's a human thing to forget. It's part of human nature. And Jesus knew that. And he told his disciples right before he left, he said, don't get all emotional and crazy on me now. I know it feels painful, but it's going to be better that I go because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit in my place. And the main function of the Holy Spirit is not to comfort us, although that's part of what he does. It's not just to be with us, although that's part of what he does. It's what Jesus said. The most important thing was to remind us of all the words that Jesus said to his disciples when he was here. We need to be reminded. We need the reminder of the fact that this gospel we preach is a message of good news. It's not gloom and doom, and it's the good news that you were lost and you were an enemy of God, but Jesus came and built a bridge between the separation of the Father who's holy and us in our sinful state, so that we through faith in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross could come back into fellowship, back into community and family with God the Father. That's the message of the gospel. It's good news, because without that message, we stay separated. We go one way, and he's over here. I want us to understand that the message of the gospel is not some just thing that you maybe heard before, and so now you don't need to hear it again. Unfortunately, we tend to forget. We can hear it over and over, but we forget the power, and we forget the essence of what the message is. That the message is of the gospel preached is foolishness to men, but in the message is the power of God unto salvation. That the very message about Jesus, not Jesus himself, but just even the message of the good news about Jesus has the power of God contained in those words. That's how powerful Jesus is. That just to talk about him, just to remind ourselves and not to forget, as we were singing earlier, we cannot forget who he is. When we forget who the God is that we worship and that we serve, we become weak in our own mind and our own understanding, not realizing we have been born of the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We've been born again. We've been born into a new creation. We're now miracles. Our past has been dealt with. The sin of our old nature has been conquered through the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As long as we identify ourselves with that sacrifice and we believe by faith that what he did was all sufficient, all complete and all encompassing for past, present, and future failures of our lives. And so, but we need reminders of this. I mean, we have songs that we love because when we're listening to them, we're reminded of his love, or we're reminded of his power, we're reminded of his healing strength towards those who believe. We have testimonies. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Why? Testimonies are stories that remind us that God is still at work and still faithful and still powerful and still determined to have us all together in his heaven that he's prepared for us. Preachers remind us. When we preach the gospel of the good news, we're reminding people. Some will hear it for the first time, but I don't know about you, but I like to hear it over and over. I like to listen to different people, because sometimes just going from Joel Osteen to T.D. Jakes to somebody else, to Dan Moeller, just they're saying the same thing, but you hear someone else say it, and it's like, boom, it's like the first time you heard it again. Amen. Preachers can remind us of this message of the good news of the gospel of peace. The word. The written word, the Bible, reminds us over and over of what it is that we've been born into, this kingdom that now comes to live within us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we need these reminders, the Holy Spirit coming to remind us. It's interesting. I was just taking a walk with my son, Jordan, and we do it often, and we take a four-wheeler ride, and every time I turn a four-wheeler off and we're going to go and like walk a little spot where the four-wheeler can't get to and do a little exploring or make a little fire or whatever we're going to do, the first thing he wants to know about is the bears. Because we've got several bears up on the property. I probably shouldn't have told you that before we do our bonfire next week, but they're harmless. If you know black bears and you watch Animal Planet, you know that they're completely harmless. They're scared to death of you. They're just after your garbage and whatever is in your garbage and acorns and stuff like that. They're omnivores, yes, but it's mostly little things that they eat. They don't go after people. It's not in their instinct, okay? So I'm trying. We've been over this discussion so many times, but this last time, he asked me again. He's like, what do bears eat? Like as if we had never gone through this before. What do bears eat, Dad? They eat acorns. They eat, and it's silence after I go through the list of what they eat, berries and fruits and things and garbage. They eat people? No, they don't eat people, Jordan. They still don't eat people since the last 10 times I've told you they don't eat people. It's like, what about little people? I'm like, no, they don't they're not even gonna eat little people. It's just there's something about humans and bears. They see you. And I said, every time we see a bear, what do we see? We see the backside. They're running the opposite way. They just can't wait to get away from you. They don't want to be anywhere near you. They're afraid of humans. And we go over this and over this and over this. And it's like, are there any kind of bears that do eat humans? And I'm like, well, there's grizzly bears and brown bears and Kodiaks and whatever else. And I said, but, you know, that we don't have to worry about those. They live far, far away. Well, how far away? You know, like California, you know, Canada, Alaska, like so far away that they could, by the time they got here to us, they wouldn't be able to make it that far. They can't travel that far. We just have black bears around here and they're completely harmless. But it doesn't matter how many times, the next time we go, Jordan, guess what you're going to ask me? I already know what you're going to ask me. Because in the moment, when you're just walking and it's your feet on the leaves and it's the twigs under your feet and it's just you as a little kid like this in this big, huge world with trees and everything else, the thoughts of I'm vulnerable, the thoughts that lead to fear and being afraid are still going to come. The fact that you feel afraid is not a problem in God's eyes. We're always going to have fear that's going to try to come and try to get into our thought process. That's why we have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, because fear is going to come. But what we need is that perfect love of the Father that casts the fear out. We need to remind ourselves that He's a loving Father, that He has the best plans for us, that He's not here to harm us, but He's here to bless us, He's here to preserve us, He's here to prepare us for the place that we're going to, and to bring as many people with us as possible. That's what's in His heart to do. His desire is that none would perish, but that all would come to understand He's a loving Father. But in the process, we're going to face things in life that we're going to need to be reminded. So where do we turn? Because if you don't have something to replace the fearful thoughts that begin to come in, you're going to harbor them. You're going to meditate on them. The next thing you know, you're anxious. You're afraid. You think it's going to happen to you. You think it's all going to crash down around you. You've got to replace the fearful thoughts with faith-filled thoughts, with loving thoughts, with truth from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit. I believe where we're going as a nation, as a people, as the church of Jesus Christ in these last days, we are going to have to be a group of people that are in tune with what the Holy Spirit wants to say. Amen. I've been catching myself a lot lately. I'm preparing a message of what I think the people of God should hear. What I think from what He's speaking to me, maybe, what I think is the best message that I should bring that the people would respond to, that'll allow for growth and people to, you know, bring other people in and to be encouraging and whatever. And I've just been catching myself, and the Holy Spirit's been just arresting me and saying, yeah, but I've got some stuff I want to say. Much better what the Lord wants to say to His children. Much better what the Lord wants to say to me through the Holy Spirit than what I can find on a radio show or what I can find through digging through some old books. Although that stuff's good, we need to be able to live off those words like Jesus did from the Father, because faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. When we hear his voice in our ears, we're suddenly going to be okay. We're suddenly going to be able to say, it's only going to get better and better and better, as we just proclaimed. Did you forget that already? I know I almost forgot. I was like, what did she say again? It's going to get better and better, not because of how great we are, but because of who our God is. This thing is not over yet. Do you understand that? The gospel, this good news, is going to get preached to the uttermost parts of the earth, and then the end will come. That's what Jesus says in the book of Matthew 24:14. If you want to just jot it down and look at it later, we'll read it quickly. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. When you look at a score on a game, let's say it's a baseball game, and one team has more runs than the other, we quickly say, oh, the team with more runs is winning and the other team is losing. That's actually not true. We see a race car driver on the track. He's in front of everybody else. We say, oh, he's winning. No, there's 100 laps in. There's 400 to go. He's not winning. Anyone that's watched racing long enough knows that to even say that he's winning is almost just ridiculous. No, he's ahead right now. He's where he is right now. But guess what? The race isn't over yet. And Jesus is saying this thing is going to get wrapped up when this message has been preached of this good news of peace. But the fact is, the game is still on. The competition is still on. This thing's not over until it's over. There's still time left. There's still a nation. There's still a people. There's still a planet that needs to be rescued, that has people who live in it that need to know that God loves them and that he sent Jesus to reconnect with them. But if we think that, well, we're behind and so the enemy's winning, or whatever it is in your life, make it personal for you. You feel like, oh, well, it just seems like, no, you can't use the word losing. You're just a little bit behind, but the game's not over. Losing and winning, those words in that language comes out at the end when the buzzer goes off. Yes. That's when we start talking about winning and losing. Amen. Until then, we fight. Like Paul says, we forget what's behind. We press on towards the mark of the high call that was put in him by the Spirit. We've got to understand, as Corinthians says, chapter 4 and verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes back. The end is coming, but until then, we don't have to worry about behind or ahead or winning. We know that we win in the end because Jesus won in the end. And he says, if anyone believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. The cross looked like the greatest failure the world's ever seen. Someone who claimed to have power over death. And they said, well, if he's really the Son of God, let him bring himself down off the cross. Let him save himself. He can save everybody else, but he can't save himself. Meanwhile, he had the power to do it. He had legions of angels at his disposal, but he hung there to get us back. He wanted his people back. He wanted those made in his image back and restored into right relationship. And so he endured the cross, despising the shame of it, because there was a joy that was in his heart of reuniting us back and honoring the will that was in his Father's heart to get us into right relationship. And I want to encourage us this morning, don't get distracted with whether you feel like you're winning or losing. It doesn't even matter. Jesus won, therefore we win. Sometimes we just have to be reminded. And be okay with being reminded. Amen. Some of the greatest struggles I faced with trying to debate or just have conversation with teenagers, my own even, of course, is that as soon as you start down a path and they think they know what you're even going to say, you haven't even finished the thought yet. I already know that. Yeah, I know. You told me that last time. I know that. They'll cut their friends off. I heard that song already. Yeah, they're trying to tell them about it. Oh, I saw that movie. Yeah, you don't have to tell me anymore. Like, as soon as they know something, it's like they don't want to hear anybody else telling them anything else about that. I know that already. There's like this race on to know it first, and then you don't want to hear anybody else tell you. As believers, we have to be humble enough to recognize that even though I read the word yesterday, even though I felt empowered when I read it Monday morning, or I heard it on Sunday morning, I still need to be reminded on Monday morning, or Monday night, or Monday afternoon, or whenever the bad news comes. I have to be reminded by the word, by worship, by preaching, by the Holy Spirit himself, that Jesus said, if anyone believes in me, even though he dies, yet he's going to win, yet shall he live. And then he modeled it for us on the cross. What looked like absolute failure was actually the greatest victory that this planet has ever seen. Sin and death themselves, and hell and the grave, were all totally destroyed by his act of humbly suffering through the ridicule of a people who thought he had just lost. Folks, it's not over until it's over. it's not over yet. The gospel hasn't been preached yet. When we get behind folks like Joe and Lily, we're furthering that message that's reaching into 100 miles of dirt roads to get to tribes that have never even seen a vehicle before, to hear in their hearing a message they can understand that God created you and he loves you and he wants you for himself if you'll just receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Folks, that's what this is about. We can make a difference. We can do something. When we do something simple, like fill our parking lot with cars full of candy and funny costumes, maybe someone walks through with a stroller with a child in it, and someday he ends up coming to Sunday school here. Maybe someday they end up having a relationship restored, and you don't know what people are going through when you see them out and about. You don't know. Because some of you have been there yourselves, and you've put a good face on, and you've walked through Walmart, and you know on the inside you were just about to explode because it felt like your whole world was about to cave in. Been there. Nobody around me knew it, but I knew it. And so many people, you can, so you understand that's what's going on. People might look good, but we have to look for those inroads to get the gospel into their ears. That handshake, that kindness, that smile that says you care. We can do that. We can be marked as a people that do that. Let's just stand together. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time of just having heard from your word, heard from Joe and Lily, Lord, and what you're teaching them, what you're helping them understand about this great kingdom that we're a part of, that without team and without support and without all of us gathered around one another, that we're not going to stand in the hard times. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd begin to just, by your Spirit, just remind us, refresh our memory about how good you are. Refresh our understanding of what you've called us to do. That it's not just to be together on Sunday, but it's to put our efforts and our resources together to truly reach this community and this area with your glory and with your gospel of peace. Father, we thank you that when we share the good news, that ears this week are going to hear it and receive it. That, Lord, you'll show us the way to do it. You'll show us how to open the door and how to get that hearing ear opened in the first place. But by your Spirit, Lord, would you give us an increase for that burden that we carry, whether in Africa or India or wherever it is, here in our own community, in our state, in our nation? Would you remind us that prayer does change things? That when we pray, when we speak your words over situations, that they do change? That change is part of who you are. You're always here to change things and to make things new. So, Father, this morning we're just grateful for your truth, that it's tireless, that it never goes out of date, that it's always relevant, and that the truth of who you are is something we can be reminded of constantly by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I invite him and I pray that my ears would be open to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in my life and in my heart, so we can truly have the heart that beats in unison with yours, Lord. When we see opportunity, we move towards it, and we don't assume that somebody else is going to do it. But Lord, you've called us to make a difference, and I thank you that we are those difference makers. I thank you that you're here with us to continue to remind us and remind us and remind us that we would never forget or neglect this great salvation that we have been saved by. Father, we give you this day, we give you the rest of this afternoon, and we just give you our lives this morning. Lord, show us how to find that way to be constantly reminded of your great love, your great gift of salvation to us and to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.